B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window's big winter sale is going on through January, where you're going to get 40% off all windows and doors. All you have to do is call this number at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Talking some football, but not a lot today because we're not interested. Why is that? What is that about us? That we're less interested when our team goes out. It doesn't apply to every sport, by the way. It applies to every sport. We're out, we're out. Our team's not involved. We're not really that invested in what's going on nationally. What does that say about us?
Well, I mean, we're passionate about our teams, which is a good thing.
We are.
And it's kind of just a reminder that we're not there. If you do check out.
So we go in the back in the closet.
Yeah.
We don't want to be reminded that we're not there.
Yes.
And watching the game actually reminds us of the failure.
Yeah. But the whole time I was watching all those games yesterday, I just kept thinking about the Eagles' shortcomings.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I go, the Eagles aren't that. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what we need. Yeah. We need this.
That's why I think it should be mandatory that we do watch. Because we get too many fans that will talk themselves into the rose color. As the offseason goes, by the draft, we only need a couple of tweaks. You have to watch, in my opinion, and suffer through it. I think it's a sign of weakness that we don't watch.
Might be a sign of weakness, but I got to be honest with you. I'm the same way. I will not watch every play of a playoff football game. Like, I'll dabble in it, you know? It's all on background noise. I'm doing 7 different other things. And I'll glance at the screen.
I don't know about 7 other things, but I mean, I'm not. I went to the Philly home show yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like going to go to that, and I got tied up with others.
You got another weekend to go if you want. It's next weekend. So I got to it, but it was like 7-0, and then started watching. But I still had to watch and suffer through it because I have to see this is what my team is. Oh, I have to drill in. I'm not going to be at the draft going, well, all they have to do is just get one lineman, and then it is, because that's what somebody's going to do. Just get another defensive end and get a little pass rushing and you're good.
Yeah.
No, they won't be good with just that.
I got you. By the way, did you get any ideas at the home show?
Yes.
Did you?
Yep. Talked to some nice people. Some of our station sponsors.
Get a bathroom redone or something?
Yeah, we're working on 2.5 bathrooms to do. Got one at a time because it gets pricey. And the kitchen remodel possibly. So.
Wow.
Well, you know, got to do it one at a time. I can't afford to just do it.
So it means you hope the Sixers go to the finals.
It would really help. But I don't think I'm going to end up a little short.
Yeah, speaking of the Sixers, when they're looking at the last, it's funny, when they win, it's like, everything's good. They lose to Dallas.
Yep.
And, oh my God. Yeah, well, listen, they are what they are. I don't think that they're a Eastern Conference championship team unless they do something that would improve their lot. So there's that. Let's go to Michael in Wallingford. Michael, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Michael.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, first let me start by saying, listening to your banter between you guys is probably as much fun as just listening to the commentary about the show. You guys are pretty good.
Yeah, listen, speaking of that, I saw the picture. He went to a Beverly Hills restaurant with her, and she's grabbing his arm, and she's got, like, this dress on where, like, she's flying out at 90%. Now, that's maybe a little excessive.
A little over top. I agree with Tyrone. Yeah. I think that's a little over top.
Yeah, it's a little over top. If I'm Jimmy G, I would not. I would prefer that maybe she was a little more demure in that date.
Yeah. Not something you're taking home to mom, obviously, sounds like, huh?
Yeah.
No. Hey, point I want to make.
She looks like a skifooze. But anyway. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, I have a question about both teams, Flyers and Sixers. What's with the ROA record? Why is it management? Is it leadership? Why can we not win on the road? I mean, look at the Flyers. I mean, I got some young talent, some young goaltender, but you think they should have enough leadership to be able to take what they have?
You're absolutely right. Primarily, on the road, it has to do with clutch players grabbing the moment, which I think they fall short. But also, coaching's a part of it, too. I mean, you got to coach your way past tough road games. So I can't absolve Brett Brown here.
Correct. I agree. Brett Brown, but I'm talking, you know, the Flyers, Elaine Vigneault's been a proven track record to be able to go on the road. I just don't get it.
Well, they're a little young, that team. So, you know, young kids are going to be influenced a lot. And, you know, let's face it, their veteran core has seen better days.
Is their veteran core just not good enough to be able to?
Yeah, look, Voracek is again struggling.
Oh, he's done. He was
and,
done
and Giroux's not the same player. So, like, they can't rely on the veterans to carry him through.
And then, but then you look at the Sixers. Are you going to put that on coaching? Or
it's got a lot of it has to do with coaching on the road when you lose on the road. Yeah. But it's also seize the moment. Like, you have guys that won't allow you to lose. Like, Jimmy Butler's a guy that won't allow you to lose. Now, I know he's got fallacies. I get it. They don't have a guy. They don't have a take charge dude that go, we're not losing this game here. Joe and Mays Landing, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Joe?
I just wanted to talk to you about the Eagles offseason and how I'm a little bit concerned. I think back at the Andy Reid era when Jim Johnson passed away and John Harbaugh left and how they just promoted from within and all these guys. And the team just, you know, they just collapsed from within. And I really think that they need to hire some experienced coaches. I think a Jim Caldwell for offensive coordinator helped Carson a lot. I mean,
I think the owner has to be thinking the way you're thinking. Because he would hire a guy, Jim Caldwell, and take play calling away from Doug Peterson. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, when they have Frank Wright, you could see how more relaxed Carson was. He had somebody who was experienced. He was a quarterback's coach. Now, a guy like Chris Richards, Dallas is letting go. They need a secondary guy who could teach this secondary. You know, you want to get young, get young. I mean, I love Malcolm Jenkins. He's an in-the-box safety, but I'm not signing a 32-year-old guy to a long-term contract. He's not going to get any faster. That much we know. And let's face it, you know, he's had more people run behind him than Marvin Chambers.
Listen, he's a box safety.
And
he's good at that. They need another safety that's faster. I would not shortchange Malcolm Jenkins in that you don't want to be looking for two new safeties.
Mike, you know, they got Maddox. I mean, Rasul Douglas. Every bit of him says safety.
No, he can't play. He can't play. He can't play safety.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it's coaching. I really do.
No, he is not a safety. In that role, he's not fast enough to play that role, that safety role.
You don't think he could play in the box, Mike?
Well, you think he could be Jenkins? Jenkins is a savvy veteran player who reads. Does Rasul Douglas give you that impression? He looks like he's confused all the time on the field.
This is why I'm talking about bringing in coaches that could teach these kids.
Yeah, listen, the players create their own profile. He's a backup player, Rasul Douglas.
Well, listen, I'm just using him as an example because that's what they have. You know,
they got to keep Jenkins. They can't go out and cast their lot with two new safeties.
But you spend the money on a guy who's turning 33, Mike.
Guess what? Well, they don't have another option there. They just don't. They're going to have to bring him back. Let's go, Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys, funny. What Tyrone right about that? You can't probably debate that. I mean, not saying nothing wrong.
Man, what is with you dudes?
Oh, man.
What's going on, man? Well, I don't get it. This is America's freedom of choice. My man wants to run in Beverly Hills with a porn star. I salute.
I hear you, but
you can't judge him as a quarterback because he went out on one date.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on.
If you went on deck circle, you see you hammer Hank Aaron in a one deck circle, you see Willie Mays knock the ball off the cover. What you going to hit that? I don't know. We bring but.
I wonder, I wonder what the mindset is of somebody who goes out of the point. Like, at the end, what's the end game for the guy who dates the point star?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I always wondered that.
Who needs the shower at the end of the day most? At the end of the work day? I don't know.
Because maybe the point star is a regular girl. She goes, no, I don't first date. You know? While the guy's expectation is just the opposite.
What?
But not public, you know. I mean, like you said, but anything but public.
No, man, I do that for a living, not for leisure, until I know you better.
You know what? I was trying to talk about the Sixers, man. You know what? I think, like, Ben and Joe, I think You know, I think a lot of people get, you know, people get frustrated. We do because of their culture. When you think about it, these guys are both foreign players. They come from countries where basketball isn't king. You know what I'm saying? Ben Simmons probably never had a rival in his life in Australia. I mean, things you work out here in America when you're young. You know, whatever you hear your name at, you're going to hear somebody else's name. And Joe, he picked up the game. You know, he picked up the game in a, you know, late in the game. And, you know, he's just enjoying himself. You know, and when you in the States and you're from Philly and New York and Los Angeles and places like that, I mean, you know how serious the game is from the beginning. You know how, you know, what people expect from you from the gate as a young man.
Yeah.
I mean, you strive to work on them things. You strive to get better at them things. And I think that even though the game changed them such late in their careers, that, you know, they get a little stuck in their ways. I mean,
I get it. Here's the other side of it. He's 23. He can't be oblivious to what he needs to do to be a star player unless he thinks that what he does now is good enough to be a star player. Now, I don't know. Could he be that misguided? Yeah, I guess it's possible. You know, if he doesn't think he does anything wrong on a basketball court, which it seems to me that's his attitude, then maybe he never gets better like that. Maybe he never goes to that next plateau. In which case, you would have to make a decision. But that decision can't be made now. Because you're not going to get true value. You're just not. You're not going to get a player of his ability, which is untapped still. Because they're going to trade on what's tapped and not what's the untapped.
No, you're right. You can't get value for it. Him or Embiid, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be thinking of trading Embiid. The whole thing I don't know. I can't. The more I talk about the more frustrated I get.
Well,
really, I just want the guy to be a superstar because I think he's got the ability to be a superstar, and he's holding it back.
Now, tonight they play the Pacers.
Yes.
On the road again. So they're on the road before they come back home for the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to stew in this. He knows he didn't score in the second half. He knows they lost. Will he ever? I know you say we just have to accept
it. I don't think these kind of things affect him. I really do not
think.
So
it's just going to be the same tonight.
I don't think that he is thinking, well, I didn't score in the second half, so now I got to really bust it. I don't think those thoughts come through his head.
And they don't really have anybody on that team that can really guard him.
I think he thinks, oh, I didn't score. Oh, I didn't score. Like he's not determined to say, well, now I got to score because I didn't score in the second half. I don't think he thinks that way. That's the problem.
Because it would be nice. This was a game they kind of have to win. They got blown out by the Pacers the last time. It'd be nice to go get a little revenge.
What's the line on this game?
It was like 2.
Pacers?
Pacers 2 at home, yeah.
I like them tonight.
Like the Sixers?
Yeah, I think they come up big tonight.
Check and see if it moves.
I think they bounce off that loss and they come out and win this game tonight.
It is. Let's look. Yeah, still Pacers 2.
Pacers 2. I like it. I like the Sixers. That's a little line tells me Sixers. All right. A couple open lines. 610-622-0975. Let's go to Chris in Miami. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Chris?
Hi, how you doing? So I'm pretty much in the table. Like, I think Ben Simmons, honestly, I feel like we need to reevaluate what type of player he's going to be. Coming into the league, I really thought he was going to be, you know, probably one of the closest things we ever seen, one of the closest athletes we've seen from LeBron James. I thought he had the same qualities coming out of college. But I just feel like he's just not going to be that type of player. I feel like he's more defensively than offensively, and I think that's just what he's going to be in the future as well.
You might be right, and they may have to come to that decision after this year, depending on what happens this year. Like, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, nothing's going to happen. If they get upset before that plateau, they may have to revamp.
Right, and I think it's a shame because, like you, I do see his qualities, and I believe that if he had that mindset that maybe Giannis has, I believe that he could be, you know, a LeBron James title player. But going into his, like, now it's his third year, it's fourth year, but it's his third year playing, you would be able to see, you know, changes. But I just don't think that's just the type player he is. And it sucks because, you know, he had to be that player for us to be, you know, win a championship. So I don't know what we should do now. Do you think that there's any possibility that we're going to trade either him or Embiid if we don't make it past the semis?
I don't think there's a possibility to trade Embiid. It is possible that in the offseason they reevaluate the Ben thing and go, you know what, it's just not going to happen. You know, like they did that. It was an easier decision for Fultz. But they finally all came together and it's not going to happen here. And they may have to come to that decision depending on. Now, if they get upset in the first round, obviously, then that's going to be an evaluation. But if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, there still might be an evaluation. Then maybe it's just not going to happen with this dude.
Yeah. And it's pretty crazy to think that, you know, this was probably going to be our year since, you know, LeBron already left. And now we're sitting in the sixth spot, and I'm shocked. I definitely didn't think we're going to struggle this much going into this year, and I think that there's got to be some changes.
Well, listen, they're not a complete team, and I think they know it. So there's a move coming down the pike, and there has to be a move. So we'll get to reevaluate what this team is by the end of the year, I think. Dennis in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Dennis?
Good. Yeah, I mean, we might have to come to the conclusion that, you know, Ben Simmons will never be a shooter. And if that's the case, then how can this team possibly succeed without Ben Simmons being a shooter? I mean, your primary scorer is a low post player and Joel Embiid.
Well, but it is possible that you add enough scoring in other areas. Like, if you added two, was a dynamite scorer. Like, you can always figure out your shortcomings of your players and coach around that, like they did with AI. Now, it's not quite the same, but you know what I'm saying? To make up for what he's not giving you on offense, you can always do something.
Yeah, I've been trying to rack my brain and think of ways of how, who the Sixers could add to this roster that would, you know, come up and cover up the deficiencies that Ben Simmons has and be able to work with this roster. And I just can't possibly see it.
Now there's some guys out there that can help for this year that would come off and being bench shooters, which would give you the offense you need off the bench that would make up for the 9 points per game he's not giving you. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
It would make up, but will that be enough to get you over the hump?
It might be enough to get you over the hump this year.
It's not going to get you to the finals.
It could.
It's going to get you to the Lakers.
It could. It could get you to the finals. You get a guy that can contribute double figures off the bench, reliable every night, which they don't have now.
How are you going to get that guy?
Well, there's guys out there. We've got over a couple of them. There's Bogdanovich out there. There's Bertans out there.
Yeah, but who you got to give up to get?
Well, you don't have to give up anybody of significance to get him.
Bogdanovich?
Yeah, you're going to give up Mike Scott. You're going to give up Zaire Smith, maybe a draft pick.
I don't know. You think? I mean, would you give up Bogdanovich?
Bogdanovich on last year of a contract on a team going nowhere. They have no reason to re-sign him.
Okay. So you think you can get Bogdanovich for cheap? And that'll be the difference. Okay, maybe that's a possibility.
Listen, I don't know if it's going to be the difference, but it's better what they have now. They're adding something they don't have. So I have to have faith in that part of it. Gary in Wilkes-Barre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gary.
Hey, Mike. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Tyrone.
What's going on, Gary?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
He's just too good of an athlete to trade. And I think some people are missing a point with Ben. I think he has a plan. As stupid as this might sound, he won Rookie of the Year his first year, became an All-Star the second year. This year he wants to be the Defensive Player of the Year, and I think that's his plan. And the problem is, of course, is he's not shooting. But I think if they do make it to the playoffs, which I'm not saying that they will this year, but if they do make it, I think he's going to start shooting in the playoffs.
What? Yeah. Where's that thought come from? Where all of a sudden you're going to pop out of a bag and start shooting in the playoffs?
Okay. Now doesn't people like they, you know how like they keep talking about like Andy Reid in that game yesterday? They said, oh, he's going to bring out this magnificent play. Well, maybe they're holding Ben back till the playoffs. That's my only strategy.
No, he's not going to pull back a curtain and show Ben as a shooter in the playoffs. That's not going to happen, bro. Now, I agree with you that he's too good of a talent. I wouldn't trade him. I would still hold on to hope that you know, what you have is so dynamic and so star laden that you can, like, you just have to hope that it's going to happen one day. So I wouldn't give up on him even next year.
No, definitely.
But I don't know what they would do, because, you know, maybe the brain trust goes, no, not going to happen here, and it's frustrating because teams then get frustrated. Mitch, Phoenix, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch.
Hey, how's my guy, Mike?
What's up? What's up, Mitch? How you doing?
You know, I just took a look at Jimmy's girlfriend. Hey, she's disgusting. I mean,
it's not his girlfriend. He took her on one dinner date in L.A., in Beverly Hills.
All right, well, I hope they had separate tables.
She's disgusting.
She's gross. She's really gross.
She said, listen.
That's a violation.
Yeah, she's not gross. She's attractive in a certain way to certain people. It's not like she's like, like a, you know, some kind of a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Astruins.
All right.
You know?
Let's move on. Right, let's move on to a bigger problem.
Yeah.
I want to know what team in the NBA would be interested in Ben Simmons.
A lot of teams.
Yeah, but give me a team and who they would give up.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go over, like, possible trades for Ben Simmons, but his upside potential is that he could be one of the league's star players. His ceiling is Giannis, for crying out loud. Team would think that would be palatable? Of course they would.
No. His ceiling right now is 6'10", and he played like
his ceiling is Giannis if he shoots the ball. He's got that kind of ability. Yes,
it is. He's not going to shoot the ball.
All right, well, I'm saying if he shoots the ball, his ceiling is Giannis. There are a lot of teams that would be would fancy that proposition.
Okay, I would be fancy in getting a guy that can shoot the ball. Who can I get for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, well, it's stupid to keep going over who can I get for Ben Simmons. Because you're not going to give full value for Ben Simmons. So you might as well, you have to live with it for this year. Like I say, I'm focused on this year. How can they work with what they have and be an Eastern Conference champion? With the restrictions that Ben is going to give you. You know what he's going to give you every night? You know he's not going to give you 25. How do you make that up? 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family this spring, how about their weekends back with a Husqvarna automower, the robotic lawnmower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons? Just check it out in person at their showroom in Doylestown. Ask for the Mike Messmower or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,200 votes on this one today. Do you care about Andy Reid winning? 64% say yes, 36% say no.
All right. I've been thinking about during the break, as Mitch asked, who would I trade Ben Simmons for? There are two guys that right now I would trade him for. One is Luka. But that would never happen.
Yeah, no.
That's
brainer, yeah.
A pipe dream. And the other is Devin Booker.
Yes.
I would make that trade. Now, Tyron, let me ask you. Would you trade him for Bradley Beal?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Would you trade for Damian Lillard?
No.
Damian Lillard?
I would not.
No. Okay. So three guys you would trade with.
I have to look around.
Let's go to the fantasy world.
Uh-huh.
Giannis, obviously.
Yes.
Would you trade him for Anthony Davis?
No.
You wouldn't?
I would not.
Really?
I see him not. I'm more down on Anthony Davis in general than most.
Wow. Would you trade him for Kawhi?
Yeah.
Would you trade him for Harden?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Even at that age?
Yep.
Okay, would you trade him for Steph?
No. No.
No? Would you trade him for KD?
No.
Okay.
Because of the Achilles and all that stuff.
All right, so if Dallas called you, which they never would because Luke is a better player than Ben.
No.
So that would never happen, but that'd be a no-brainer.
For me.
And Booker?
Booker I would have to do. Because
you would do that?
Because you're talking about players who enhance Embiid now, so you're almost making two players better
exactly.
in a way.
Right. And Beal?
And Beal I do, because, I think you end up enhancing Embiid.
Okay, so that is the only, you think, even value to trade a guy like Ben.
Yeah,
those type of players.
Right, and he does a lot of great things. Like, mm-hmm. we know what his faults are, and they're real, and they cause problems. But we recognize, you and I have talked about all the good things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just throw that out. Like, that defense that he's playing, he's able to cover basically anybody. He locked down Luka in the first half of that game.
Yes.
Like, one-on-one. But the problem is, the offensive shortcomings not only hurt him, it then has a ripple effect on other players mm-hmm. like Embiid because they don't have freedom.
Right. The point is there's a very small pool of players that would get you even value or more.
Right. Like in a perfect world, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And tonight, for example, he shoots 8 jump shots and now they're off to the races. Like that's still what I want to happen. Now, whether or not it will is different, but that's still best case.
Yes.
Ben evolves, and now we're cooking. It just hasn't happened, and it's
exactly.
frustrating.
So, in other words, the upside of Ben is more important than just trading him for a guy.
Yeah.
And that guy better be really special that you trade him for.
And that guy better make things easier because now you're going to need more from Embiid, so that guy better create space to where he can only be single covered, or if they double him, he's going to knock down every open three.
Correct.
Like Beal and Booker and players like that.
Yes. All right, let's go Sean and Mount Laurel. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sean?
I urge anyone who says this. So it sounds like you guys would, for a small market, trade Simmons. And I just, like, looking back at, like, even John, people forget, John's drafted, like, 6-7 years ago. He's very much more of a developmental player, right? And if you put their stats together for the first 3 years, granted, Ben was much more of, like, a prodigy walking into the NBA. I'd be really scared even to trade at some of these options that you guys are talking about because of that upside. And you said, which I share the same feeling, that he has the upside of a Giannis. Because if he just shoots, he is that player. They have the exact same player.
I totally agree. But
so like,
again, Luka is the league's star player at his age. You would agree?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. And Booker will give you 28 a night. Like, that's a rare player who's going to produce for you 28 a night and drill shots all
night
long.
And they're forcing open shooters. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I got a very small pool of guys I would do.
Do you guys worry about Embiid with the way that he is and his injuries and making the investment in him and not Simmons? I know it's hard to make the investment in Simmons because he's shown that he can't shoot yet.
Well, you're going to make the investment in both. You already gave Ben the contract.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, putting the players around one particular player, I don't know, I guess because Embiid's the more sure thing right now. And I just think if you look at Simmons' shot, it doesn't even look that bad.
You're not going to improve your team by trading Embiid. You're just not.
No. I don't mean that. I think that everyone needs to hold firm on Simmons, even though I know that he has been making
No, I agree. That doesn't make it any less frustrating.
It does.
You know, it's just, it drives me insane. It really does. Dom on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dom.
Blair Green. What up, Mike?
What's going on, man?
Hey, all right, Mike. So I want to talk to you what I'm afraid about. Because to me, this seems like deja vu what happened last year. Shortcomings before the trade deadline. And not wanting to move the pieces that we have. So we have to move what's going to end up probably being a rookie to get a deal done. Because to be honest, if we had Shamit this year as our bomber, we'll be in a better position. And I don't want to have to lose Matisse Thybulle as well.
Why are you in a better position? You wouldn't have Tobias Harris. Why you'd be better if Shamit than Tobias Harris?
Oh, no. I hear you on that. No, I mean, of course, I want Tobias right now. But I just, the past 2 years, we had great draft selections. And
Shamit's not a great player. He's an okay player. There's nothing great about him.
I mean, great at what he's doing. He was brought into
yeah, but you had to get you're running in circles here. You agreed Tobias is a better player. You needed him to get Tobias, so you couldn't have Shamit. So why are you torturing yourself?
That's true. but this year though,
yeah, I know. You just can't make stuff up out of thin air, though. You couldn't have them both.
No, I hear you though. But do you want to lose Thybulle in a trade to get, I guess, the commodity that we need to make this work?
Yeah, Thybulle might not be part of the deal. I mean, he probably wouldn't be part of the deal.
It would have to be drafted.
What's Thybulle's upside, though? I mean, I don't know. Could he be a great player? He's going to be a nice player. I don't know if he can be a great player.
Yeah, if you can keep that athleticism and keep that defense up, then, I mean...
Yeah, he's going to be a very serviceable, solid player. I'm not sure he's a star.
I hear you, Mike.
All right, Dom. You got it, buddy. Let's go. Frank in East Oak Lane. Frank, you're on 97.5 at Fanatic. What's up, Frank?
Hey, man. I need your help at the station, man.
Yes, sir.
We got to start sensationalizing and start actualizing, man. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Huh? Ben Simmons is not a point guard, and we have the pieces necessary to play efficiently, like with Josh Richardson at the point or Trey Burke at the point. We just need to make a trade for, like, Morris, stack the deck with what we have and go home.
Come on, man. Stop. You're telling me you're better off without Ben Simmons, but with Marcus Morris and Josh Richardson playing a point.
That pick and roll was almost unstoppable the other day.
Come on, bud. You're killing me now. You're killing me now with this. You're going to make your team... Wait. You're going to make your team better eliminating Ben, having Josh Richardson as your point guard, and having Marcus Morris? That's a better team?
Or Trey Burke.
We can see
a point guard.
Or Trey Burke.
He has no
are you tripping? Seriously, come on. Frank, listen, you're the last call today. I wanted to end it on a good note. You're telling me that Trey Burke, starting point guard, Josh Richardson is your two, Marcus Morris, without Ben Simmons, is a better team?
No, not that way. Come on. Don't
what are you telling me? You're eliminating Ben Simmons to include Marcus Morris.
No, Horford could come off the bench. You know, it's better for him.
Who's coming off the bench? Horford?
Horford.
Oh, yeah. So you got Ben as the four.
Yes, all day.
No. People that think Ben Simmons is a four are misguided. You are taking away his best attributes. His best attribute is taking the ball from top to bottom to leading a break. He's not going to be a shooter at four. What is what this Ben Simmons is for? What is this?
It's because he's tall and we're not that bright. So it goes tall guy. Oh, 6'10".
He doesn't fit as
four.
A four. I mean, what? Post up? Well, Embiid's your post player. And the four's got to stretch.
You know when you can play him at the four some? When he decides to shoot. Then you can have lineups. If he was shooting, right, the corner three. Then you could have certain lineups where he would play the four. He would still be the point guard because he would be a threat to score. If he plays the four right now,
he's
what's
useless.
He doing on offense?
He's useless on offense as a four.
Can't use him.
All right. Sound off's coming your way right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports betting is on fire with New Jersey and Pennsylvania's premier online sportsbook, PlaySugarHouse.com. It's the app I use. You know I love it. Check it out. You'll find a great selection. Live lines, prop bets, and future bets. Tonight, national championship game college. I like Clemson +4.5 against LSU. And unlike those other sports betting apps, you can play over 450 casino games like blackjack, roulette, and three-card poker all in one. You don't have to download multiple apps, and you'll be entertained for hours. It's the best one, and it takes just a few minutes to get up and running. Enter your info, load the amount you want to play with, and bang, you're in. Very easy, nothing to be intimidated about. Play Sugar House also offers easy deposits, fast withdrawals, so you can get your money. And if you do it now, you'll get a bonus. You receive a 100% match on your first deposit up to $250 by using the code 250MATCH. So I don't know what you're waiting for. PlaySugarHouse.com is the premier live in-game betting option in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800 gambler.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? Hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for sound off. 610-771-9705. That's the sound off line. You got something to say, hit us up. Football weekend, Sixers. Let's see who you have today on Sound Off.
It's like everybody wanted Jim Schwartz gone and Mike Groh gone. Brett Brown is the problem. When you continue to tell a team to shoot threes when they don't shoot them very well, when you don't know how to design an offense that can get Al Horford involved, and you continue to have the same problem over and over again, it's not going to change, Mike. It doesn't matter who they bring in here. They're not going to win with Brett Brown as the coach.
You can't grind out a game by making twos in this day and age. You got to attempt threes. I get the problem that they can't make. They're not consistent three-point shooter. But it's not like you can give up on the proposition of shooting threes and try to grind it out, beating teams 2-2-2-2-2. You can't do it anymore.
And to your point, Mike, they're actually top 10 in the NBA in three-point percentage. You just, we pick out the very bad games, and Saturday was a very, very bad
one. Yes, but they're still not, like, I don't get a good feel for them shooting threes. I'm always like, it's like nails on a chalkboard when they're rising up. You know, I need reliability.
After watching this weekend's divisional playoffs, if anyone thinks the Eagles have an elite quarterback, it's not even in the same area code, it's not even close, and it has nothing to do with heart or ability. It's sheer talent. Wentz is even close to Mahomes. Jackson, Watson, Rodgers.
That's four guys, man. So if he's fifth, that's not bad, right? Come on, man. Of course you're going to look at the top four. He's in the top 10.
He absolutely is.
All right, so he's not Mahomes. That doesn't mean you can't win with him.
It just might be the evil in me, but I think Andy Reid's a lot more fun when he loses. I think if he wins the Super Bowl, it'll take all the fun out of Andy and the whole situation. Anyway,
loser.
That's just my two cents. I hope they go down in flames.
Oh, you want him to be the lovable loser, you know, Santa Claus type of figure.
I mean, I can see that. I don't hate him.
I just have no feeling one or the other. Like, I don't dislike him. I'm not going to root against him, but it's not going to do anything for me if he wins the Super Bowl either.
Is this the process? Does the process include number one picks that we trade away? Or number one picks who have big holes in their games and refuse to fix it? Are we done? Is it over? Is this what we waited for?
What was your point? What was his point, you think? I didn't really...
I guess he's thinking all this losing and now this team stinks. And that's what a lot of people are thinking right now. The process was a failure because they did all that.
The process isn't a failure. It's still viable. You just have to keep plug and play. You know, it's like you get a reality of your team that it's not enough. They have to have that reality. They look at their team and go, well, we're not enough right now. Because look where we are to standings, look at how we do on the road. We don't have enough. So you just keep plugging and adding.
You know, the worst thing about the San Francisco 49ers winning was now we got to hear about the catch again all week. And every time they're on TV about the catch. There's been 50 better catches than that catch made in the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
What do you care about the catch?
He's kind of right.
Who cares?
I'm with him.
The tight end fingertip catch?
Enough.
What's the big deal? It was a great play. What? What does that matter to us here?
I don't know. I never thought of it until just now. Brought up. I see better catches than that in the playoffs. I'm good on not seeing the catch anymore.
It was a golden moment in the NFL. How could you be mad at that?
Show me Jerry Rice or something. I don't need. Show me T.O. I don't need the catch.
I don't care if Andy Reid scores 100 points. He's not going to win the Super Bowl this year, next year, not ever.
Bitter. See, that man is bitter. I don't know. He can't be bitter. I mean, Andy forged a pretty good era of football. Like, why are you bitter?
I'm up here late night watching SportsCenter, and I see you scroll across the bottom that Bill Cowher is making the Hall of Fame. How, Mike? One Super Bowl and his chin? That's what gets you in the Hall of Fame?
I'm a little confused. Coach Cowher. It's Coach Cowher to you. All right, Coach Cowher. And they made a big thing about it. Like, they announced it live on TV, right, with his family there.
They did the same thing with Jimmy Johnson.
Did they?
Yeah, Troy Aikman got emotional.
Yeah, he's got a good winning record as a Steeler coach. Coaches going into the Hall of Fame, I don't really pay much attention.
And his resume, I mean, Jimmy Johnson had the two Super Bowls, but his resume, Cowher's is probably better.
Yeah, he won a lot of games with a storied franchise. Yeah.
My son pitched Division I baseball, and when he wasn't pitching, he was very good at analyzing and stealing the other team's signs. And the coach knew that, and the coach used him to do that. Retribution for sign stealing is the bean ball.
Yeah, and they do that, but this was like totally out of control with the Astros were doing. I mean, it was like a whole production. But again, it's baseball. You're trying to get your little edge. It's a hard sport, so you try to get every little edge to maximize your ability to win. I don't care. Cheat your ass off. Steroids, steal signs, have cameras. What I would go ahead. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. You got enough beef?
I don't like them.
What are you looking for?
Because I don't like
them. And brave. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets up.
Good. See you later.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned because we got Devon Gibbons will lead you into the Sixers and Pacers right here on 97.5 tonight. And also on NBC Sports Philly, of course. Quick Slants and the Flyers pregame show. The Flyers will be on NBC Sports Philly, the main gig, right? And plus Sixers will be on Plus. Sixers will be on Plus. And right here, the Flyers will be on our sister station, WMMR. Big game at home tonight against those Bruins. Everybody have a great rest of the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.